The People's Republic of China, with a population of around 1.4 billion, is the world's most populous country, and the world's third or fourth largest country by area. With a rich and diverse history, the Chinese civilization has always shared common stories of blue-eyed deities who were the originators of Buddhism and the first leaders and organizers of Chinese society. While the majority of the population regards these stories as pure legend, there are villages in China with numerous residents that have blonde hair or blue and green eyes and whose Caucasian features, such as a high nose bridge and beards, are prompting some historians to suspect that at least some of these ancient myths of the Far East might have a basis in truth. In 1912, two travel agents, Fred Meyer Schroeder and Oscar Maumann, reported seeing an unusually massive structure while exploring China. Documented in the book called Pyramids of China by Walter Hain, the following description is translated from German. It was more eerie than if we had found them in the wilderness. Here, they have been under the nose of the world, but unknown to Western countries. The largest pyramid is about 1,000 feet high and roughly 1,500 feet at the base, which makes it twice as large as the pyramid in Egypt. The four faces of the structure are oriented with the compass points. So not only do these two travelers claim that this Chinese pyramid was larger than the Great Pyramid of Giza, it shared the same orientation as the Egyptian pyramids, being aligned the same way. During World War II, U.S. Air Force pilot James Gossman, along with his co-pilot, also reported seeing enormous pyramids while flying over China while his aircraft was having technical difficulties, saying, quote, "I banked to avoid a mountain, and we came out over a level valley. Directly below was a gigantic white pyramid. It looked like something out of a fairy tale. It was encased in shimmering white. This could have been metal or some sort of stone. It was pure white on all sides. The remarkable thing was the capstone, a huge piece of jewel-like material that could have been crystal. There was no way we could have landed, although we wanted to. We were struck by the immensity of the thing." It seems this Great White Pyramid was also reported on by the New York Times on March 28, 1947, where in an interview with the newspaper, the former Far East director of Transworld Airlines, Maurice Sheahan, said 40 miles southwest of Xi'an, he had seen a gigantic pyramid. According to Sheahan, quote, "I was impressed by its perfect pyramidal form and its great size." 2 days later, on March 30th, 1947, the New York Sunday Times elaborated on the report, and this time also published the first photograph of the White Pyramid, which was taken in 1945 by James Gossman, the Air Force pilot that I mentioned earlier, and after that, no other stories were published. It wasn't until 1978 that New Zealand researcher Bruce L. Cathy pursued some clarification on the matter, uncovering correspondences between the Chinese embassy and the U.S. Air Force, and later publishing the photograph of the pyramid in his 1983 book called Bridge to Infinity. According to his findings, the pyramid did in fact have an estimated base of 1,500 feet and was 1,000 feet in height, with four trapezoidal-shaped sides, a square plateau on top, and a square base, like the pyramids of Egypt and Mexico. These Chinese structures seem to be completely unknown to the Western academia, and when brought up, denied as not being actual pyramids, but instead only pagodas, which are temple-like tiered towers, which are common to China, Japan, Korea, Vietnam, and other parts of Asia. Most pagodas were built to have a religious function, most often Buddhist, but sometimes Taoist, and also built in ancient India. That said, the massive structures in China, which the communist government still tries to hide from satellites by planting rows of trees on them, are clearly pyramids. More people are starting to take notice of these enigmatic structures all over China and wondering about the ancient culture that must have erected them. An article published this week in The Express is titled, "China's Mysterious 8,000-Year-Old Structure, Guarded by Military, Could Hold Key Secrets." Goes on to say that China has a number of mysterious pyramids hidden in the overgrown countryside, reportedly guarded by the military to prevent them from being probed. But experts think they could hold keys to understanding more about the country's ancient history. More than 100 kilometers outside the ancient city of Xi'an, among the overgrown forest, rise scores of pyramid-shaped mounds that have been shrouded in mystery for thousands of years. The article mentions a German investigator named Hartwig Hausdorff, who set out to find the pyramids in the 1990s, but was unsuccessful, and instead found the Chinese military meticulously patrolling the area. Today, Google Earth will show anyone with the right coordinates evidence of not just one, but around 40 known pyramids, but not all are easily distinguishable to the human eye, as they are camouflaged with shrubs, bushes, trees, and even crops. According to the article, this region, in essence, is China's version of both Egypt's Giza and the Valley of the Kings in one, particularly because there's a huge amount of royalty rumored to be beneath the surface that no one has disturbed. One reason for the secrecy could be the fact that many of the ancient Chinese legends describe the early emperors with Caucasian features, which was reinforced by discoveries inside the first emperor's tomb, which predates the formal opening of the Silk Road, including European-specific mitochondrial DNA. Of course, this is in addition to the 4,000-year-old blonde Aryan mummies that have been discovered in China, some that have measured 6 foot 6 inches in height, found with swastikas etched onto their ancient artifacts, and DNA which speaks to their Aryan lineage.
It is important through genetics to figure out where people came from, because they don't look like they belong. That is a funny way of saying it, because they were there, they lived there, and they did belong. But we have, as modern human beings, a preconceived notion about how the world should look like. Well, the mummies from China don't look like they should be in China. They look like they should be in Denmark or Ireland or northern Germany, because they look like people from over there. So what are these guys doing so many hundreds, thousands of miles to the east? DNA steps up to the plate, and they can tell us where they came from. Archaeology steps up to the plate and says when they may have come over. Combine the two, you've got the family history and the kit and caboodle that they lived in. What are these people doing there? So long ago, well before the opening of the Silk Road, which is dated to 138 BC, these mummies date back, some of them, to 2000 BC. We are, in our bodies, the carrier of an archive, a genetic archive. It tells, if you were to study me, where I'm from, and if I studied you, where you're from. And there's no lying about it. In your books, you might say you're from another place, but your genetics will tell us exactly where you're from. We all carry in us, males and females, DNA that comes from our maternal line, through our mothers and grandmothers. So why is that important? For starters, it allows people who study that aspect of genetics in any individual to retrace the history of that particular person through the mother's lineage. The female mummies were mostly of local origin. However, there's another type of testing, the Y chromosome testing, which is the male line. The males came from parts further west, not necessarily Ireland, but places like Iran, maybe towards parts of Turkey. The mom's side and the grandmother's side is from the Tarim Basin, and the fathers and the grandfather's side were moving in with their sheep, with their herds, slowly but surely, and having families, living their daily lives. So that is an additional aspect that the archaeological part to some extent corroborates but doesn't tell in that greater detail. And that's the wonderful thing about DNA testing.
Although the information has been suppressed, alternative explanations to the communist version of Chinese history has been available for some time. As early as the 17th century, a Roman Jesuit wrote about the Chinese pyramids, and in 1785, the French Orientalist Joseph de Guignes wrote an article called An Essay in Which We Prove the Chinese Are an Egyptian Colony. Keep in mind that in this context, Egyptian does not mean the modern Islamic civilization and demographic that occupies North Africa in modern times, which is very different culturally, ethnically, and genetically from the ancient Egyptians who built the pyramids in ancient times. Despite widespread Afrocentric propaganda in the United States and European academia and media, the ancient Egyptian nobility, pharaohs, and mummies are predominantly comprised of red-headed and blonde Caucasian people, as can be attested to by the mummies themselves, which not only have Caucasian facial features, such as the high nose bridge, cheekbones, and lack of prognathism, meaning how far the mouth sticks out from the face, which any real anthropologist can visually distinguish from sub-Saharan phenotypes, but the DNA also shares affinities with Aryan or Western European genetics, depending on the period. Even the oldest remains found in Egypt, which date back to pre-dynastic times, which is now in the British Museum, nicknamed Ginger because of its red hair. So it's not only China that is hiding its true history, it's also the West that is guilty of teaching falsehoods in an effort to push a cultural Marxist political agenda. That said, Western archaeologists who are interested in learning the truth have, to this day, rarely been permitted to investigate the sites, and some have claimed photos show shrubs and even structures that have been deliberately planted or erected to keep the secret under wraps. Some archaeologists suspect that there are almost certainly lost emperors, treasures, and priceless artifacts buried below the mounds that would dwarf Howard Carter's 1922 discovery of Tutankhamun. In 1974, the world got a peek of a truly extraordinary history of China when two farmers were digging just outside Xi'an and discovered the famous terracotta army of China's first emperor, Qin Shi Huang. There were legends that he had been buried inside a veritable mini-city with palaces, carriages, treasures, and anything else he'd need in the afterlife. Of course, 45 years later, the inner chambers have yet to be excavated, and the emperor himself has not been officially found, probably because, as I've stated earlier, DNA remains found on the site came back Caucasian, and the communist regime seems unwilling to confront the possibility that the ancient Chinese legends of blue-eyed gods and nobility might be true, similar to the blue-eyed statues of the Sumerian gods and nobility, and the many blue-eyed statues of the ancient Egyptian god kings and pharaohs. And even the blue-eyed artifacts and mummies found all the way in ancient Peru, so they prefer to delay archaeology at the site instead. Archaeologist Kristen Romy told Live Science that researchers are going to, quote, be digging there for centuries. Chinese communist authorities will not allow anyone to excavate at the site, and Xi Jinping's government says that the technology does not exist yet to properly explore the site. So, as long as the current political situation holds up, I think she might be right. Some have claimed that the Chinese have a strong veneration of culture, meaning that they simply wish to leave their royalty at peace. But I personally don't buy that argument, seeing how China has placed millions of Caucasian Uyghurs into concentration camps and is tearing down Aryan Buddhist statues and rewriting the Bible to reflect a more socialist ideology. I don't believe the communist Chinese are motivated by peace, but like the radical left in the United States, they're systematically erasing and replacing history in an effort to impose a banker-financed, UN-backed, globalist, egalitarian political agenda similar to what happened with the communist Bolshevik takeover of Russia, which has all but erased the memory of the Tartarian Empire that preceded it, or the Afrocentric communist destruction of South Africa, which is currently imposing a racially motivated genocide against the people that established agricultural civilization there over 500 years ago.
Now in China, the government is not only cracking down on Muslims, but on other religions as well as it pushes to assert communist ideology. Buddhist temples have been closed or demolished, while a campaign has been launched to destroy hundreds of statues of Buddha. The destruction of the giant Guanyin Buddha has drawn international condemnation.
The three-faced statue of Guanyin, the deity of mercy in Chinese Buddhism, is being demolished.
It's left us Buddhists and those who worship the goddess Guanyin inside and outside China quite bewildered. It's not only Buddhism, but also Christianity and Islam.
Experts estimate that the three-faced Buddha is just one of up to 800 statues that have been destroyed in recent years.
My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon. My books make a great gift. If you would like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those that are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please hit the like button and don't forget to subscribe for future updates. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.